We begin the current daf, Maseches Nedarim, daf Pei Vav. We begin on the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, we had a contradiction in the halachas of Shmuel. Shmuel paskined like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler in the Mishnah Maseches Ksubas, where they clearly, Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler is of the opinion that a person cannot be makdish a davar shelo b'olam, where it was illustrated in the case where a husband was being makdish the meiser of the meisi daim of his wife, which is the excess of her earnings, which Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler said that even if it's going to be for a future time when the husband will have the capacity of being makdashit, specifically when his wife dies and he inherits the excess of her ma'isi daim, he says it's still going to be chulun, because when he was makdashit, she was still alive, and he couldn't be makdashit yet, because although at a future time it will be bala ila, meaning it will be in his domain that he could be makdashit, but when he was being makdashit, it wasn't yet his, it was still his wife's, because he wasn't giving her the ma'al kesef, which is what acquires for him her ma'isa ma'isa daim, and therefore he didn't have it at that time. He's only going to get it when she dies. That's considered davar shelo b'olam, and therefore, ultimately, even when he does inherit it, it will be considered chulun. It's not hekdesh. And Shmuel said the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler. So we see that Shmuel holds a person cannot be makdish a davar shelo b'olam that's not yet in his domain. Now, however, contradictory to this is that Shmuel Paskins says the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah, which clearly he holds that a person could be makdish adavar shalei b'l'aylam. Because there the halacha was where a woman tells her husband, look, whatever earnings I make is forbidden to you as a neder. Now, she didn't make those earnings yet. However, Rabbi Yochanan Murray said you have to be made for the neder. Why? Because, although now, and this was where he argued under Bekiva, everything she makes is meshubit, is indebted, There's a lien in it from the husband. Everything she makes has to go to the husband, even the hadafa, even what she makes more than usual. Now, if that's the case, so why does he have to be mefer? He doesn't have to be mefer. It's not yours to make a neder, and that it's mine. You owe me the husband. So the reason is, as Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri explained in our Mishnah, because if and when the husband divorces her, then her earnings are not meshubet to him, then the neder will take effect, because it's not meshubet, and then he's not going to be able to remarry her. Because how could you be married to a woman that everything she makes is forbidden to you? So it's for that circumstance, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says, be made for it in case there's a divorce. Now that the question is, it's indicative if you're acquiring a hafara, because the neder is going to kick in when there's a divorce, that obviously the neder is taking effect now, not now and now, because now it's meshubed, but now for then. But how is she making a neder, a hekdesh, a kainim for then? That's shalei b'lo oilam. She's not divorced yet. How's it going to take effect then? Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri holds a person could be makdesh davar shalei b'lo oilam. And not like the way Rabbi Yosef tried differentiating between the kainim and hekdesh, as the Gemara illustrated from Abai, that there is no such difference in this context. So therefore, you see a contradiction in Shmuel's own halachas. On the one hand, he says halachas like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, that a person could be makdesh davar shalei b'lo oilam. And the other end, you have Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler that he passes like, who says you cannot be makdish davar shelo b'olam? That was the contradiction. Now, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Yeshua answered. He says you're right. Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yochanan HaSandler that you cannot be makdish davar shelo b'olam. Now, in our Mishnah, it's not a case of a davar shelo b'olam. How so? Of course, it's not. She didn't make the things yet. She didn't earn these things. She didn't grind the flour, whatever it is that she was saying forbidden to her husband. The reason is because she wasn't making forbidden the ma'isi dain per se. It was the hand that produces the ma'isi yadayim, the handiwork of the hands, that's ba'olam, that's here, and that she's saying, my hands are hekdesh to you, it's forbidden to you, you can't have enough from my hands. Now therefore, everything that comes out of that is manifest from the hands, now but the hands are ba'olam, so that's why it's going to take effect. Now the Gemara wondered, but how does it take effect? Well, you're saying it's going to take effect when there's a divorce, but there's a shibud right now. If there's a shibud, she can't be makdish her hands. Her hands are meshubet to her husband. So, and moreover, as the Ran explained, it was even if you say that you could be makdish davar shelo b'olam, but it sounds like it's taking effect right now because she's saying I'm being makdish my hands. And that thing where I said no, she said that when there's going to be a divorce, then is when the ned is going to take effect. Where you could, but the Gemara asked, that's only if you hold you can be makdish davar shelo b'olam. You're back to the question essentially. You're saying the hands are here. Fine, that's ba'ilam. Problem is, contextually, it's not ba'ilam. Why? Because your hands are meshubet to the husband. Therefore, your hands are not yours to be makdish. Yes, the hands are here, the ma'isadayim are not. So it's ba'ilam. Problem is, if it's only according to everybody, would take effect only when there's a divorce, then your hands are back yours again. So then it should take effect. But if it's going to take effect then, but according to the Mandam, and especially what we're trying to explain according to Shmuel, who says like Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, that you cannot be makdash davar shel bala olam, for the woman, her hands are not hers right now. Because it's mishabit to the husband. And if you're saying that, you're right, it's not for now, it's that she's saying that it should take effect when there's going to be a divorce, and then it will take effect. But that doesn't work, according to Mandama, Davash Label Oilam, because her hands are not hers. For now, it's only for then. And that's something that's not yet. She might get divorced in 10 years from now. A neder on her hands right now should not take effect for then. That was the question that the Gemara had asked on this interpretation of Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua. And that's where our Gemara begins with a back and forth about a dialogue about how to interpret and define this teretz of Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua to resolve the contradiction in Shmuel's halachas. And the Gemara is going to maintain the basic structure. It's just a question of how to define that it's being makdish the yadayim. And that's where it's going to differ from Yochanan ben Sandler. You're right, my yadayim are not ba'olam yet. That you can't be makdish. But our hands are here. If our hands are here, so there's something here to be makdish. It's ba'olam already. In spite of the fact that on some level it's not really hers, so it's not really ba'olam, that's what we're going to define with the words of guf and peiris. There's her hands, which are ba'olam, meaning for her, the woman, to be making a neder on. But the peiris, the produce, the handiwork of her hands, that's not ba'olam. That's only when there's going to be a divorce, because it's not really hers right now. Her hands are mesubit to her husband. But that's what the Gemara is trying to define and refine. So Amar Rabbi Ilai, he explains as follows. He says, it's not a difficulty to define this halacha of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, which again is according to the interpretation of Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua, to resolve the halacha of Shmuel, and to say that it could even be consistent with the Manda Amar that holds that you cannot be makdash adav v'shalei b'la oilam. As Rabbi Ilai explains, Amar Rabbi Ilai says, Uma Ilu, he says, let's compare it to the following halacha. Someone tells to his friend, this field that I'm going to sell you, when I'm going to buy it back from you, I'm selling it to you now. I'm about to sell it to you. When I'm going to buy it back from you, I want it then to go automatically to Hekdesh. So now Rabbi Ilai says, Mila Kacha, wouldn't the field be sanctified, be Hekdesh then? So the Ran explains, says that it's obvious to Rabbi Ilai, that in this case, of someone who owns the field right now, but he's selling it, and he's telling the person who's selling it to, when I'm going to buy it back from you, it's automatically going to go to Hekdesh then, it's going to be Hekdesh. He doesn't know this halacha, which is then going to correlate to our halacha of our Mishnah. He doesn't know that halacha from the case of the field from a Mishnah or from a Braisa. He knows it from logic, that definitely it's going to be Hekdesh. And the comparison is as follows. He says that most definitely that the reason why a person can be makdish something is because it's in your domain right now. Now the reason being is, in contrast, as the Gemara will shortly illustrate, if it's a field that was already sold, then even Rabbi Ilai would agree that you can't be makdish it because it's not in your domain. Now, even so, that we understand before we're going to make the comparison Rabbi Ilai is trying to do, that the case of the field is seemingly different than the case of the woman, because the case of the woman, it's not all in her domain. Her ma'isei dam are meshubit to the husband, in contrast to the case Rabbi Ilai is introducing, which is, it's his field right now. He can be makdish right now if he wanted to. He's not. So he's selling it off, and then when it's bought back, he's saying the verbalizing the hekdish, that it should take effect then. So even though there's going to be an interim when he's not going to be able to be makdash, but right now he could, still Rabbi Ilai holds that this is comparable to the case of our Mishnah with a woman telling her husband, "Koinim shane ois lepicha," that my handiwork should be a neder to you. Now the reason is in other words, he doesn't say that this is comparable, which actually the Gemara will ask on this shortly, to a different type of a case. For example, if someone tells his friend that a field that I have already sold you this field, it was my field, I already sold it to you, and I'm telling you the field that I have sold it to you, now I'm going to verbalize that when I buy it back from you, it should be Kaddish. There, Rabbi Ilai agrees that it's not going to be Kaddish. Now, seemingly that should be the same thing with a woman, because a woman, it's not her Ma'aseh Dayim now, because that's Meshubah to the husband. If she would have said this maybe before she got married, maybe that would be comparable. She's already married. So essentially what it should be like is like a field that was already sold, and that's what the Ran's explaining in Rabbi Ilai, that no, it's different. Why? Because by a sale, when you have already sold a field, it's a done deal. As the Gemara will shortly explain these terms, that the physical field and the produce of the field, everything is already in the hands of the purchaser. Now, but that's where Reb Eli is pointing out that a woman is different. This case of our Mishnah. Why? Because the actual hands are her hands. The husband doesn't own the hands. It's only the Maisiya Dayim. The produce of the hands is what every single day she has to give to the husband. Now, and that is what Reb Eli is saying, and that's his Chiddush, that this is comparable to the case of a field that I will sell you. Now, although really the case of the field is a little bit stronger than the case of the woman, where there, yes, if the person who didn't sell it yet wanted to be makdish, should be able to makdish right now. So that, how can Reb Eli be comparing the case of the woman to say that she could also be makdish it, where seemingly it's not the same thing as the case of the field, where yes, for there it's going to be what's going to be in the future, but because you could do it right now, how could you compare that to the case of the woman where we're saying you can't be makdish dabash label oilam? So how are you saying that it's like it's not a problem for the man that you can't be makdish dabash label oilam? Because like the case of the field, it's not like the case of the field. Case of the field, yes, there's going to be an interim when it's not yours. So on some level, what you're being makdish is label oilam, fine, but because right now you can be makdish it. So although I'm saying it should take effect later during an interim where it wasn't mine, but when I'll get it back, it'll be kaddish, fine. But how are we comparing it to the case of the woman, where right now it's not hers? So that's what the Ran explains, what Reb Eli is trying to say, is because each one has one mila, each one has something that it gives it a strength more than just a regular shleibel oilam, and therefore Reb Eli wants to compare the two. Because by the case of the woman that's making a neder for prohibiting her maisi daim from her husband, it has one up over the case of the field. Why? Because by the case of the field, you're right, right now, had the person want to be makdish, he could be makdish, but when he doesn't, and he sells it off for that interim, at that period, before the time it takes effect, when he didn't buy back yet, that period, the field has totally left the domain of the one who wants to be makdish, both the field itself and the payers. Now, in contrast to the woman, where her body, her hands, are always in her domain. So then Reb Eli thinks to compare the two and say that, look, just by the case of the field, where he says that I'm going to sell you, that when I'm going to buy it back from you, that you would agree that then it's going to be kadosh. So, meaning that what I'm going to be makdish, I'm being makdish now, that when I buy it back, it should be kadosh, that then it's going to be kadosh. So therefore he says the case of the woman too, is that when she makes her ma'isi yadayim forbidden to her husband, that it should be take effect for when he divorces her, that it's going to take effect. Where again, that's the understanding of the halacha of Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, and that's how Rabbi Eli is explaining the halacha of Rav Huna Barei de Yeshua, that it is somewhere in the middle. Because she's being makdash her hand, not her ma'isidayim, ma'isidayim would be totally shleibel oilam. But since it's her hand she's being makdash, her hand is what he's comparing, has a strength where, because the hand is really hers, that's not out of her domain. The payers are out of her domain. The ma'aseh daim all are meshubet to the husband, but her hand is hers. So just like the case of the field, where actually you will lose both the guf and the payers, but since you have a strength, that it should be considered ba'al ha'olam, because right now, had you wanted to be makdash, you could have. So therefore, even for the future, you could, though it's going to be a period that's shleibel ha'olam when you sell it off to someone else. So he wants to say the same thing is by the case of the woman, where although yes, the ma'isi daim that she's trying to make forbidden to her husband is shleibel ha'olam, but it's not the ma'isi daim; it's the hands that make the ma'isi daim that she's trying to make forbidden to him, which that's not totally shleibel ha'olam. There's still something here which is in her domain, the hands. Now, although the hands are not, there's nothing there that you're being makdish because she's not giving her hands over to hekdish, but it's the hands that make the ma'isi daim, and that's still hers. So just like there's one benefit here, there's also one benefit. And therefore he wants to say that just like over there it'll be Kaddish, even though there's going to be an element of Shleibel Olam, here also though there's an element of Shleibel Olam, when he divorces her, then the neder will take effect regarding the hands in regards to the context of the Ma'aseh Daim. Therefore that will explain Rav Huna Barei de Yeshua's interpretation to resolve the contradiction of the Halacha of Shmuel, where, yes, he holds like Rabbi Yochanan Asanla that you can't be Makdish Dabar Shleibel Olam, here it's not a total Dabar Shleibel Olam. Now, on that maskil of Rabbi Yirmiya asks on the interpretation of Reb Eli. He says, me dummy? Is it comparable? And we already forewarned some of the discrepancies regarding these two cases that Rabbi Ila is trying to compare. On that, Rabbi Yirmiyah says that maybe that the element that has the benefit of the case of the field is the overriding factor. Because Sada Zusha Ani Maichalach, regarding the case where a person tells his friend, look, the field that I'm going to sell you, has to be Yadehi. Now, it's in his domain totally. Had the person wanted to be Makdish right now, he could have been Makdish. So David, that's stronger than the benefit and the strength that there is by the case of the woman, where yes, you're right, there her hands are always going to be hers, unlike the case of the field. But what does that help? Because Isha Biyada Lahakdish Maisi Adeha, do you think it's within the domain of the woman to sanctify her Maisi Adayim? And that is, she can't go ahead and ask her Maisi Adayim for it to take effect the nether right now until she gets divorced. And therefore, what Rabbi Yirmiyah says is not comparable. It's not that, oh, you have one benefit and this is one benefit, and therefore they are on equal par, and just like there it's going to be Kaddish Hiro. So because no, that benefit that it's right now would allow you to be Makdish. Here, she has nothing, her Maisin Yamam Meshubit to the husband. How's it going to take effect now for when there's a divorce? It's totally Shleibel Oilim in regards to the Maisin Yadayim. So rather, Rabbi Yirmiyah says, Haloi Dami, actually, if you wanted to compare the case of our Mishnah to the case of selling a field, it would only be comparable El Lamechaveh rather to someone who tells his friend, Sadazu Shemacharti Lach, this field that I already sold you, when I'm going to buy it back from you, it's going to become hektish. And that Rabbi Yirmiyah, in asking to Rabbi Ila, says, Mi Kadsha? Do you think it would be sanctified in that case? Of course it wouldn't be Kaddish because it's not in the person's domain to be Makdish right now. Because it's not his anymore, he already sold it off. And therefore he's asking Rabbi Ila, here also the case of the woman is the same thing. Had she said it before she got married, maybe, but now that she's married, her Maistam and Meshubit to her husband, was it at help to say that when I'm going to get divorced, that's Shleibel Oilam? And therefore, Rabbi Yirmiyah wonders how does by contradicting Rabbi Ila and refuting his interpretation of how are we going to resolve the halachas of Shmuel. Now, Maskevla Rav Papa, the dialogue continues. Rav Papa asked on Rabbi Yirmiyah's question on Rabbi Ila. In other words, Rav Papa says, I agree to you, Rabbi Yirmiyah, in your rejection of Rabbi Ila's interpretation of the halacha of Rehuna B'Yedei Yeshua to resolve the halacha of Shmuel like Rabbi Yechon Menuri and Rabbi Yechon Asanda. In other words, you're right. You definitely cannot learn the halacha of the woman prohibiting her Maisi Daim to her husband from the case of someone selling his field to someone else, because it's not comparable, like you pointed out. But one question Rav Papa had on Rabbi Yirmiyah was, even so, you said that to the contrary, you wanted to compare it, that it definitely, the nether should not take effect, because you said it's more comparable to a case of when a field was already sold. On that, Rav Papa says, on that I contest with you. Because me, dummy, is the case of an already sold field the same thing as a woman in regards to a Maisei Daim to her husband? Gabe zvina, buy a sale, psika milsayu, it's a done deal, it's everything is out of your domain. In other words, when you sell off a field, you sold the field, and the payers, they're all in the hands of the purchaser. Now, there, of course, yes, I would agree that for sure the person cannot be makdish the field. But Gabi Isha mi psika milsa, is it so absolute in the case of the woman? In other words, it's not. Because by a woman, at least the actual physical hand is still hers. Maybe they would tell you that maybe, like the halacha of our Mishnah, that it would be Kaddish. And actually, what Rav Papa tells Rabbi Yirmiyah is to the contrary. You actually, in the comparison of these halachas of field to the woman, you actually could resolve and explain that why it actually would be Kaddish. Why? Because Haleidami Elul Oimechaveh, rather, it would be comparable to a different type of a case. Again, continuing on these parallels, where someone tells his friend, Sadazu Shemeshkanti Lach, no more sale. This field that I have made as a mashkan to you, which is collateral, which I owe you money, but I don't know what to pay up, so I give you collateral for that debt. Now, you're holding on to it, but it's not really your field, it's my field. Now, on that, the debtor says, Likashevdeno Mimcha Taktish, when I'm going to redeem that collateral from you, meaning I'll pay up the debt, and I'm going to get my collateral back, then it's going to be Kaddish. And that Rav Papa says to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mi Lai Kadsha? Wouldn't it be Kaddish? Of course it would be Kaddish. Why? Because the actual field itself is in the domain of the Makdish. It's just that it's collateral in someone else's hands. And therefore, what Rav Papa says, actually, we have now resolved the interpretation of Rav Huna B'Yedei Yeshua, because a woman is essentially the same thing, where, yes, our hands and our earnings are hers. It's just mishubed right now. It's some type of a lien on it from the husband that because we're married and I'm supporting you or whatever the circumstances are, that's why it's hers. His, but really it's hers. Now the Ran just points out, why does it have to say likasha evdena mimcha? Is because here we're talking about, I mean, in other words, it should be even now, someone that has collateral in someone else's hands when it's really his. Of course, if you give him hekdesh right now, why does it only have to be when he redeems it? It's because we're talking about a hekdesh of damim, a monetary sanctity, which actually does not remove from a shibud, a lien, which is what the collateral is, and therefore the hekdesh would only be chal, it would only take effect when the person redeems it from that person. But be that as it may, even if it's going to be when you redeem it, that's going to be the same thing in the case of the woman of the halacha of Rechem and Nuri, that likashi girshena, when he's going to divorce her, then it's going to take effect. That's because it really is a dover habal olam. So it doesn't contradict Shmuel's other halacha like Rechem and Nasadler, where you cannot be makdash dover shlebal olam. Here, it is like bala olam because it's essentially like a mashkin, which is really yours, and it's in your domain to be makdash. Now that, the Gemara continues the dialogue. Maskevla Rav Shesha, Rav Ida, he asks on Rav Papa. He says, me dummy? Is your comparison comparable? What do you mean? They're different. Sada biyadei levdaisa. At least by the case of the collateral of the field, the owner of that collateral, it's within that person's rights and ability to redeem it at any point in time that he wants to. When he'll pay up the debt, he gets it back. Now, therefore, you're right. When that person says, that when I'm going to redeem from you, it's going to be Kaddish, then it's going to be sanctified. Yes, because there's a halacha that's brought throughout Shas, which is kol shebiyodeh, whatever is in your ability. So it's like you're not lacking that ma'aseh. It's like it was done. It's like you couldn't have it be considered done. So since the person could redeem it, so that's why you could be makdash right now, even though it's in the other person's domain for now. But isha biyodeh leskarish? Do you think a woman, it's in her ability for herself to be divorced? Obviously she can't. The husband has to divorce the woman. Now since it's not biyada, since it's not within her in her ability, her capacity, for her nedu to take effect whenever she would want it to be, meaning which is when she gets divorced, so even when she says, when I get divorced, then the nedu should be, that's not going to be able to take effect. In other words, you can't compare the two. The case of the mashkin would be because you could take it back whenever you want to. So even though you didn't, but it's not like a shalei bala oilam, so therefore you could be makdash even though it's still in the other person's hands. But how can you compare that to the case of the woman where, yes, it's mishubed, and when she gets divorced, then it should take effect? Not true, because only when you could get it back whenever you want to. The woman can't get her maisei dam back whenever she wants to. It's not in her rights to get divorced. It's the husband who has to divorce her. Now, actually, the Ram brings from the Rishonim an interesting question on where the Gemara is right now, in that the incompatibility between these two cases. And he asks, what do you mean? A woman, it's also in her yad, in her capacity, for her neder to take effect whenever she would want it to be. How so? Because we hold like Rav Huna, who he says a woman could tell her husband, "Einin ezenis vein oisa. I'm not going to get supported from you anymore. I mean, we'll stay married. You just don't have to feed me. And my earnings don't go to you." So it is in her ability to have her yadayim not meshubet to the husband, and therefore that she could be makdish. So why isn't it the same thing like the case of the mashkin? So that the Ram points out an interesting and an important point of this halacha, that this Rabbi Yechem Anuri says in our Mishnah that the husband should be made for the neder of his wife, who's making the neder, her ma'aseh dam is forbidden to him, is not because of what a woman has to do for her husband every single week, which is what we call the classic term of ma'aseh dam, which is gets correlated for the mezonos that he feeds her, which is the five slum of what's being woven in the place of Judea, which is 10 slaim worth in the Galil. Because, as the Ram points out, if it was only regards to that ma'aseh dayim, that Rabbi Yechem Anuri is saying that you should be mefer, then you can't say that reason is because Shem Yigershena, that maybe that's going to be the element when she's going to get divorced, and then, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, then he's going to be forbidden to remarry her. Because that's not true. A husband can be careful not taking the ma'aseh dayim of his wife. Why would that be a reason why he can't remarry her? Why can't you stay married to a woman that her ma'aseh dam is forbidden to you? Which was the whole reason we explained in the halacha of Rabbi Yechem and Nuri, because when they're married, there's no problem at all. She totally mishubet him anyway. So Netta Ram points out, the reason why it's forbidden is because she's making her entire hanah forbidden to her husband, meaning not just her ma'aseh dam, even the seven types of work that a woman, every wife has to do for her husband, which is to grind and to bake and to launder and all the other things. Now, on that is what Rabbi Yechiel Nuri says, that then she's going to be forbidden to get remarried to her husband, because she's not going to be able to do any basic things like making the bed and whatever. And from those types of work and activities, it's impossible for a husband not to stay married to such a woman that can't do any of these things for him. Which those things are not the correlate of him feeding her. For her to be able to say, oh, in his end, I'm not meshubet to you. That's not. Those things, every woman is meshubet to her husband, whether he feeds her or not. And therefore, that's not in her domain to remove herself from that she shouldn't do those things for her husband. Therefore, they would only take effect when there's a divorce, and then it would be a problem because then he wouldn't be able to remarry her. And that is why the Gemara now is asking that it's incompatible with the case that Rav Papa is trying to say, because what, do you think it's within her domain to have herself divorced? She's not. And therefore, actually, Rav Sheshet Bar Davida says, Holei Damia, in other words, that if you do want to compare this, as the Gemara has been constantly making the comparison, to someone telling his friend regarding a field, it would only be comparable to a different type of a case. For someone who tells his friend, this field that I'm giving to you as collateral for not less than 10 years, meaning for 10 years it's automatically yours, that then when I will redeem it, it's going to be kaddish. So that is what the Rav Sheshet Bar Davida accentuates and takes it to the next level. That of Rav Papa says, no, the way you say Rav Papa is not comparable. But if you want to compare it, you have to say it this way, the way I said it, which is for 10 years, where then you're locked in. You can't just anytime pull back. Still, it will be kaddish because, yes, although the person cannot redeem it, cannot get back the collateral before 10 years are up, now, but still, it's going to be kaddish because ultimately it will be coming back. So on some level, we still see it as yours. That is what Rav Sheshet Bar Davida says, that would be comparable to the case of the woman, where, yes, although that she can't get herself back for a limited time, but ultimately when she will get divorced, it's not like any time she wants she can get divorced, it's within the framework of the husband, but when she will get divorced, then she'll be back to herself. So we see that her hand is somewhat still hers, and therefore, because or else you wouldn't be getting it back automatically, so we see it's still hers, and now that would be the interpretation of Huna Bredi Rishua that said that we see it still as hers, and it doesn't contradict the other halacha of Shmuel HaKabir Chana Sandler, because it's not a davash lebel oilam. Now, that mask of the Ravashi. Ravashi still asks on the interpretation of Rav Sheshet Bar Davida. And he says, me dummy, is your case comparable? It's not. Because Hassan, at least over there by the case of the field, where the mashkin was no less than 10 years, but at least kids, there was an end date when after that point, the person could redeem it, which is after 10 years. Now that's why, if the person wanted to be makdish right now, where although they can't redeem right now, but we still see it somewhat like yours, so it's not a total shleibel oilam. But Isha mi is lo ketuza, but the case of the woman, is there any end date? The husband might never divorce the wife. And therefore, it would make sense that she can't be makdashit when there's going to be a divorce, because who said there's ever going to be a divorce? And therefore, since she's always under the domain of the husband, we're back to the question according to Ravashi that we don't understand this. How is this comparable to any of the good, valid cases of field, where we see it still as the person's, and therefore it's not a shalei b'lo oilam to not allow the person, because although on some level it's not the person's, like the case of the mashkin, but you could still be makdash because it's still what yours and it's not shalei b'lo oilam, that's not comparable to the case of the woman, because even by the case of the 10 years, but after that it is in the hand and the ability of the makdash to be able to makdash it then. But the case of the woman, she never has the ability to necessarily have her ma'isi adayim to be able to create the neder right now. And therefore we're really back to the question in how we're trying to resolve the interpretation of Huna B'Rabbi Yeshua, to resolve the contradiction of Shmuel regarding this halacha of davar shelo b'lo'ilam. On the one hand, he passes like Rabbi Yochanan and Sandler that you can't be makdash davar shelo b'lo'ilam. On the other hand, he passes like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, which seemingly, even with the interpretation of Huna B'Rabbi Yeshua, which we don't understand yet, how does it help if she's makdash her yudayim, which yes, arba b'lo'ilam, but it's still shelo b'lo'ilam because she doesn't have the rights in her hands. It's only when she gets divorced, and again, like we said, when she gets divorced, it's something that's still not in her domain, not in her control. It's in her husband's control. So why would this not be considered davar shelo b'lo'ilam? And if that would be considered the case, then it should not be the way Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, the Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says that you have to be made for, because what do you mean? There's no nether. You can't be makdish. You can't make a kainim in davar shelo b'lo'ilam. So we continue on Tamad Beis where the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Ashi. Rather, Rav Ashi gives the final resolution and interpretation of the halacha of Rav Huna Beredi of Yeshua, how this works. And he says, because Shani Kainamis, there is something unique about Kainamis, which is the case of our Mishnah, of Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, where a woman's making a Kainam for her Maisi Daim to her husband, because the Chikadusha is Haguf Dami. A Kainam, a Neder, is like the object has a physical sanctity. When you say this thing is forbidden, it has an inherent, intrinsic sanctity, which makes it forbidden, almost like Hekdish to that person who you made the Neder to. Which is, when we say Kedusha Tzakuf, we mean like the Kedusha Samizbeach, which, like Karbonis, have a physical, not just a monetary, sanctity. Now, what does that mean? So just like Kachim Mizbeach, when you make a carbon, there's no pidyon, you can't redeem it. So too, there's no redemption for a kainim. In other words, for it to be permitted for the one that the neder was made to make it forbidden for. Now, therefore, since kainim is a Kedusha Tzakuf, which is the primary point we're getting at, so as the Gemara will shortly illustrate, that removes and revokes the shibud that the husband has to Har Ma'aseh Yadayim. So it strips him of his shibud on Har Ma'aseh Yadayim that he has. Since it strips him of that rights that he has, so who's it left with? With the woman. And moreover, although the Ma'aseh Yadayim itself is not Ba'alam, but she's not sanctifying Har Ma'aseh Yadayim, she's making the nether in her yad, which is Ba'alam. And it's not only Ba'alam in the guf, but even in the peiris. How so? Peiris is mishubah to the husband. We could strip him of that. How so? With a neder, because the neder is kedushas aguf, and the kedushas aguf, which is what kainim is, which is unique about kainim, is mafkia from shibud. Now that resolves the difficulty. That's why Shmuel passes like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, because although Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yechim and Asano that a person cannot be makdash davish lebelo oilom, is because as Rav Huna Beredi Rishu interpreted, the hands of the woman are ba'olam. Now moreover, which was the second point that we were contending with the whole time on this daf, was fine. Her hands are ba'alam. But her rights to her hand, the peiris, which is what she's forbidding to the husband, that's not ba'alam, because that the husband has rights to. That would only be when there's a divorce. But that's shalei ba'alam. That's going to be years later. And moreover, all the comparisons to the field also didn't work out, because there at least some, there's a low-level rights to all those things. Here she has no rights in that. And that is what the Gemara is answering right now from Rav Ashi, that she could be makdishit through a kainim, because kainim removes him from the shibud that he has in her ma'aseh yadayim. Now, the Gemara shortly is going to ask this question, then, if that's the case. So why does Rabbi Yechim and Nuri say in the Mishnah that the reason why the husband has to be made for the kainim of the wife is because maybe he's going to divorce her, what do you mean, according to Rabash's interpretation, it's so ba'olam that it actually takes effect right now, the hektish. So why do you say that he only has to be made for the neder because when there's going to be a divorce, you have to be made for it because of now? Because the neder takes effect even now. Because although that she's meshubah to him, yeah, but her kainim removes his shibud. So that the Gemara is going to surely address. But first the Gemara says, okay, the Rava, because this is based on the concept of Rava, again, that a kedushas haguf, which is what a kainim is mafkia from a shibud, from a lien, a collateral that somebody has. Dhamma Rava, like Rava said, he said, there are three in this category, which we're adding that kainim has the same components, like the first one, like hektish. For example, if let's say someone makes his ox into an apaitiki, which the word apaitiki is from the word poit to hekoi. This is where you're going to be able to collect from. So he tells his creditor, I'm designating this ox for payment to you. Now, after he made it into apaitiki, which is a certain type of a shibud, a lien, he then goes and takes the ox and is makdashit as a carbon for the mizbeach. Now, that hektish removes the shibud of the lender, and now the creditor is going to have to collect from somewhere else, and the carbon is a kosher carbon, and it's not even considered theft, because it's not like he had acquired it to the creditor. He just made it as a designated place where the person could collect from. But that's just all that is a shibud, and as Rav is illustrating, hektish, a kedusha zakuf, something in the physical element of the object, removes the shibud, like we find by hektish, which is a physical sanctity. Moreover, chametz. We have a similar case by chametz, where if a Jew makes his chametz, it has loaves of bread, he makes it as an apaitiki, a place for his non-Jewish creditor to collect from. Now, however, the non-Jew did not collect it, and now Pesach has already passed. Now, the isser, the prohibition of chametz, which is a problem when it passes by Pesach, which makes the chametz forbidden, is removes the shibud of the non-Jew, because there's something physical that changed over here in the chametz over Pesach by chametz avolav Pesach, which thus removes the shibud of the non-Jew, and now it's forbidden to have anof from that. And finally, b'shichur, same thing as if, let's say, someone makes his slave as an apoytiki to his creditor, and after he does that, he then frees his slave, so then the slave is free, and the lender is going to have to collect from somewhere else because of this was a physical change, a kedushas haguf, by becoming a Jew, that happened to the slave when he was freed, that's mafkin midei shibud. And therefore, that is why Rabbi Yechim Nuri says in our Mishnah that you have to be mefer because everything is ba'olam. The guf, the hands, are ba'olam because she's being makdash them and they're still here. They're here right now. And even though her ma'is yadayim, and therefore that's incorporated, the ma'is yadayim is incorporated in the hands. Now, though, but her rights to be, meaning the peiros, are not ba'olam in her domain because it's a meshubah to the husband. And that is why we explained it is because by making a kainim, it removes it from the husband's domain to her domain. It removes the shibud, and therefore even the peiros in her domain. And that's why you have to be mefer, according to Rabbi Yechim Nuri, who Shmuel Pasan's like, and it doesn't contradict Rabbi Yechim Hasan, because it's not a case. Now that the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, as we alluded to this before, that you're saying that her kainim, her neder, it strips the husband of his shibud, so why then does Rabbi Yechim Nuri have to say that you should be mefer the neder, because maybe he's going to be divorce her, and then it's going to take effect. What do you mean? Right now it takes effect. Right now it's totally hers, and it's ba'alim, and therefore she's makdashit. So that the Gemara answers, Tanei, the way you should read the halacha of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yechim Nuri, is you're right. That right now it's going to be hektish. But, and meaning why? Because based on the principle of the kainim, that's mafkia, the shibud of the husband. But, va'oid, moreover, in other words, but even if you're going to say that as this is brought other places in Shas, that the husband, the rabbis went and made the husband's shibud stronger than a regular shibud, than a regular creditor, when she's married to him. In other words, the rabbis actually made the husband not like a creditor, but like a lekeach, like someone that purchased it already, not like a lender. Now, if that's the case, you can't make a kainim on something that you sold to somebody already. So, and that is what Rabbi Yechim Nuri is addressing when he says it in the Mishnah, that even if you're going to say that Almul Rabban Lishibud Debal, they made his shibud so strong of her Ma'isi Dayim, that not only is he like a creditor, which says, you owe me this, but they actually made him like a purchaser, like it's already his. They made it already his, so then the net is not going to take effect. So then why would there be a purpose of being made for? That's Rabbi Yechim Nuri is addressing that still the husband should be made for, because Shema Yigarshena, because maybe he's going to divorce her. And this is like how the Gemara says it over there in Perek Afal Pi, that the rabbis made his shibud so strong. Here the Gemara doesn't say like that. Here it says it more like, and maybe he's going to divorce her, but essentially it's the same idea, which is they really made his shibud stronger. You're right, she cannot be Makdasha right now. Because although a regular shibud, the kainim removes it from the shibud, and therefore she can be makdashit. But here it's not like a regular shibud. It's like they made him a purchaser. A purchaser, you already sold it off. You can't be makdashed that. And therefore it has to be back to, again, to the only Shemi Gershena, because maybe that when he's going to divorce her, then it will be totally hers. And then the net is going to kick in, and then he's going to be forbidden in everything to her, and therefore he's not going to be able to remarry her. That's what Rabbi Yechim Nuri says to be made for right now. But the Ran says, if that's the case, then you're really back to the question. If the rabbis made the shibud of the husband so strong that the neder cannot take effect right now, well then, how does it take effect? If it doesn't take effect right now, then how's it going to take effect later when there's a divorce? But now there's no divorce. And therefore, essentially, you're back to the question that it's a davash lebel olam. So how does that work? So that the Ran says, no, that's the comfortable medium. In other words, that since according to the halacha, the husband is only just a shibud, he's like a creditor. So according to the Ikra Halacha, it would take effect right now had the rabbis not made his shibud stronger. So even though they made it stronger, and hence, yes, she can't go ahead and make it hektish right now, but since it would, in any type of circumstance, it would take effect, so therefore, yes, that as long as they're married, it's not going to take effect. But when there's going to be a divorce, then it's going to be like it did take effect originally, because according to the Ikra Halacha, it does take effect. Therefore, that's how the Ran explains is what the Gemara is illustrating for the Halacha of Reich Menuri, that it's not going to take effect right now. That's only because the rabbis strengthened his shibud, but really it's not that strong of a shibud. So essentially, really, her kainim should take effect right now. They're just not letting it because they're making him like as if he is lekach. But when there's going to be a divorce, then it would take effect, because although if you can't do it now, you can't do it then, because like shleibel oilam, but really you could do it right now. Because really a kainim does remove a shibud. And therefore, that's the understanding of the halacha of Rechem and Nuri. It is a davar habala oilam, both the guf and the peri, but still it's only because of Shem Yigar Shana, because they were amur, the rabban l'shibud the baal. And therefore, does it contradict the other halacha of Shmuel, which is like Rabbi Yochanan Sanda, where, yes, if it would be a davish level oilam, a person would not be able to be makdish or even make a kainim, like in that type of a case. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on this theme about the husband or the father's ability to be made for the neder of the woman. So the Mishnah says, Nadra Ishtai. Let's say his wife took a neder. She took a vow. Now, v'savar shenadra bitai. He thought it was his daughter that took a nether, meaning people told him that his daughter took a nether, and because he heard, my daughter took a nether, no daughter of mine's taking a nether, and he was made for the nether. Or he said, yes, my daughter's taking a nether, he's been becoming his validating it. Either one. He thought it was his wife, and then he was notified, he thought it was his daughter, and really it was his wife, or the other way around. Najabita, really his daughter took the nether. And he thought his wife took the nether, and he said, my wife? No, I'm not letting my wife. My daughter, I don't care about my wife. Or Nadr ben Nazir. Let's say his wife took a neder, she wants to be a Nazir. Now, Besavish and Nadr ben Karban, he thought that she took a neder in a Karban. In other words, they told him, the husband, that she made something forbidden on herself. And she said that I want this thing to be on me like a Karban, which is a neder. Really, that wasn't the type of neder that she was taking. She took a neder of Nazirus. Or the other way around, Nadr ben Karban, she really took a nether in a carbon, meaning making something forbidden to her like a carbon. Now, Vesavish and Nadr ben Nazir, he was told that she took a nether of Naziris. And again, in all these cases, that because of that, he was Mekayim or made for it, but again, it was a mistaken. Or Nadr ben Ta'anim, he was told that she took a nether from figs. Vesavish and Nadr ben Ta'anim, or that's, she took a nether from figs. But Vesavish and Nadr ben Ta'anim, he thought, because he was notified, that she took a nether from grapes. Or Nadr ben Anavim, she took a neder really from grapes. But Besavish and Nadr ben Anavim, he thought that the neder was from figs. Either one, in all these cases, the halach is harizayach zerbiyafer. He has to go back and do a new hafara. In other words, whatever he had done originally, whether he was makayim the neder, he validated it, or he did hafara, he had voided it. Either way, since it was an error, it doesn't help whatsoever. In other words, because whatever the circumstances are, whatever he was being made for or being makayim was the wrong thing, whether because it was his daughter and he thought it was his wife, or because it was figs and he thought it was grapes, or he thought it was a neden, really it was a naziris, whatever it was, what he was being made for Mekayim was the wrong thing. So even if he wants it to be the same thing for that other thing, but since it was an error, so therefore he has to go ahead and redo it, either whatever it was, either to be making the nether or to be made for the nether.